topic for today. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we are going to read the whole verse, the whole chapter. Maybe responsive reading. People on my left will read verse 1, on my right in verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. On my left. Dispersed, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. It's not concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us ward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Seeing then that all the things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. An account of the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked. Altogether in verse 18, but grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we come to you this morning. O Lord, thank you once more for the privilege of gathering us here together in your place of worship. O Lord, we do pray that your leading hand be upon us. And also we do pray for our brethren who are still not here. May you lead them and guide them safe in this place also, O Lord, as they come to this place, O Lord. And also we do pray for our pastor as he minister to the church in Lighthouse Baptist Church. Lord, we do pray for them that the people will be challenged in that place also, O Lord. Lord, we do pray also for our brethren here. Thank you for leading them safe here also, O Lord. And also, we do pray that your word that we read will be a nourishment, O Lord, for our spiritual life. Lord, whatever is the thing that we are going to do today, your name be glorified. And all the things that you have given to us the whole week, thank you for the blessing, O Lord. We do pray for the forgiveness for whatever sin that we have done to you. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You may all be seated, please. So actually, since Pastor is not around, he gave me this topic about 2 Peter chapter 3. Actually, when we did this, when we studied this lesson in our FBI last semester, if we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 3, it talks about our Savior's return. And it was divided into two topics. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 10, the call to live, is about the call to live by the words of God, which is subdivided into the call to remember and be ever mindful of the commandments of the Old and New Testaments by God's prophets and apostles, which is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. The warning of the words of scoffers, which is at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 to 10. This is scoffers rail against creation, the flood, and the return of Christ, and the future judgment. So, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 to 18, it talks about the call to holiness and godliness. Here, in 11 to 18, it says that it was subdivided into two topics wherein we are to live in light of Christ's coming to judge all that is in this world with fire, which is in chapter 11 to 12 of chapter 3. And also, we are to live in light of Christ's coming to transform all that is in this world with holiness, which is in verse 13 to 18 of chapter 3 of 2 Peter. So, it says that Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. In this study, we shall notice that belief in the truth of the second coming of our Lord is a big influence in the New Testament as a present encouragement to holiness of life and wholeheartedness in service. If we believe Christ is coming again, this belief must affect our behavior. The following verse show us the link between the Lord's coming and the question of conduct and service. So I should say, yeah, somebody can help me to read Luke chapter 12, verse 43. Father Francis, 1 Corinthians 4, 5. Sister Naida, Philippians 1, 10. Brother Desmond, Colossians 3, verse 2 to 5. Sister Jamie, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 2, Timothy, James chapter 5, verse 7 to 8, Allison, 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, Azon. So in Luke chapter 12, verse 43, so in 12:43, it says that blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So it talks about how we're going to behave as a Christian. We should behave as a good ruler and a faithful servant. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, we believers should not judge motives before the judgment seat of Christ because we do not have the capability or the capacity of being an omniscience. Philippians 1, 10. So in this verse of Philippians, things that are excellent means is things that really matter. This refers to important issues as the Philippians' love increases in knowledge and discernment. You see in verse 9, and this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. They will be able to accurately distinguish the vital and worthwhile things in life from those that are not. Contextually, the readers of the readers' love for Paul vexes them as they are anxious over his imprisonment. He wants them to perceive his imprisonment as being those things that really matters, because of the good that God will bring out of it. The purpose for such discrimination is that you may be sincere or morally pure and without offense till the day of Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 to 5. So in Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 to 5, in mortify means to put to death by a figure of speech members, is put in place of the various sins that exist and seek to express themselves to different members of the human body. Paul urges his readers to put to death all sins residing in your bodily members. Therefore, looking back at verse 3, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. He says there, it as much as they are dead to sin, they are to make this death to the old life a reality in daily living. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 to 2, so here, we say that preaching the word, be instant in season, out of season. In other words, for thy work set apart, no definite and fixed hours to appoint, no appointed times. Thy work must be at all hours, at all times. Thy work has to be done not only when thou art in church, not merely in times of security and peace, but it must be carried on in the midst of dangers, even thou art in a prisoner and in chains, even if death threatens thee like Apostle Paul. So in James chapter 5, verse 7 to 8, so this verse in James chapter 5, verse 7 to 8, this verse tells us that Christ's return is cited to encourage patience and endurance. 1 John chapter 2, 28. So it's in 2:28 we say here that wishing to please the Lord and not be ashamed before Him at His coming ought to motivate believers to stand firm and to abide in Him. Also in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, it says there's, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall come, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So in 3 verse 2 of chapter 3 verse 2 of 1 John, at Jesus' coming, we shall somehow transform into His likeness. There's a quote here that I'm going to read. The fact of the imminent return of Christ ought to be allowed to exert a deep and abiding influence on us, to induce us to lead holy lives. We should feel that there is nothing permanent on this earth, that this is not our abiding home, and that our great interests are in another world. We should be serious, humble, and prayerful, and should make it our great object to be prepared for the solemn scenes through which we are soon to pass. A habitual contemplation of the truth that all we see is soon to pass away would produce a most salutary effect on the mind. it would make us serious. It would lead us to desire to accumulate what must so soon be destroyed. It would prompt us to lay up our treasures in heaven. It would cause us to ask with deep earnestness whether we are prepared for these amazing scenes should they suddenly burst upon us. So in 2 Peter chapter 3, as they said on your notes, there are five characteristics of the Christian in whose life the truth of Christ's return is practical hope. Number one is that it says there's, if we believe that the Lord Jesus is coming again soon, we shall seek to live lives that are Christ-like, holy, blameless, and God-glorifying. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, it says there that, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? See, holy conversation here, it talks about our lifestyle. Our lifestyle. We are to live a holy lifestyle and live in godliness. In 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Also in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 14, it talks about we as Christians, when we believe that the Lord is coming again soon, we need to diligently seek peace before God and purity before men. So let us maybe ask ourselves, or let us ask yourself, what would my immediate reaction be if I were suddenly told that the Lord was coming in two hours time? So maybe some of you will say, oh, I will go to my friend, talk to him about salvation. Maybe I will go to my mother, ask forgiveness. I will go to my friend. Maybe if I offended somebody, I will go to her or to him and ask forgiveness. But you may ask yourself, what should I do if the Lord will come into 2 hours? So here, many Christians on receiving such a message would need every bit of 2 hours to prepare for his coming. Maybe like I've said, apologies would have to be made, maybe asking forgiveness. And also in Luke, I would like somebody to help me reading the verses. Romans 13, verse 8, Sister Shaolin. Acts 19, verse 19, Sister Agnes. Genesis 19, verse 14, Brother Gideon. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, Sister Rachel. Matthew 18, verse 15 to 16, Brother Pekwang. So in Romans chapter 13, verse 8, amen. So maybe in Romans chapter 13 verse 8, when you have 2 hours left, you will go to your maybe you are going to pay your debts. You are going to pay your debt because you don't want to leave this place. Somebody is maybe hanging on you. Hey, you still have something, or you still owe me something. So don't go out. So you're going to pay your debt. Acts chapter 19, verse 19.
Many of them also which use curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all the men, and they counted the price of them, and found it 50,000 pieces of silver.
So here in Acts 19, verse 19, the curious arts that is being mentioned here is all about those superstitious arts, or the thing that are being used by those occultics or wicked person back in the time of Israel. So we are going, maybe you are going to burn all those occultic books. That is what being said in Acts chapter 19, verse 19. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 14.
And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law.
Amen. So, here, maybe you are going to warn your loved ones about the coming of the Lord. You are going to tell them maybe about their salvation. Maybe tell them that the Lord is coming in just in two hours. If you want to be with me, you must trust the Lord, receive Him as your Lord and personal Savior. Look up also in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. So, in chapter 3 of Malachi, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, maybe you are going to checks would have to be written. You're going to maybe give tithes and offerings or give check to the church, but no more time, right? No need to give that one, but chapter 3 of Malachi said that you need to, maybe you're going to give checks and would give it. Look up Matthew 18, verse 15 to 16. That's what I have said a while ago, that maybe when the Lord is coming soon, you're going to have you need to confess your sins and maybe talk to your brother or sister if you have something, if they have something against you that you have known, you should talk to them, maybe ask forgiveness, confess your sins to them, and then maybe ask forgiveness. So there's still a lot of things that you need to, maybe you have in your mind if the Lord is coming so soon. But there's a lot of things. Well, the truth is, He is coming, and He may come soon. And the practical effect of this truth should be an incentive to holy living. If we are expecting Him to come, we shall desire to be found of Him spotless and blameless, as was have been said in verse 14 of 2 Peter. Chapter 3. So secondly, if the Lord is coming, if we believe that the Lord Jesus is coming again soon, we shall be far more interested in the world to come than in this world. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, it says there, nevertheless, we according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. But this verse, that does not mean that we as Christians are not to be interested. Maybe going to school, studying hard. I remember one time when I was in Philippines, I talked to my friend. He says, my daughter don't want to study anymore. Why? Because she says that in a way the Lord is coming soon. And then, but his daughter is just jokingly saying that because she finds it hard to study on one lesson that she has. But that is not in that verse. So while we're still here on earth, as that is not what it means. We still need to do necessary and good things while we're still here on earth as a proof of our good testimony as a Christian. Our job, maybe in our job, we should also be interested in our job because that is our source of living. We still need to obey our boss. Also, improvement of our social condition. As a matter of fact, most of the great institutions existing today for the amelioration of, or making better of suffering, the care of the poor, the abolition of bad living conditions, and many more were initiated by Christians. Example of it is the Salvation Army, the Helping Hands. It was initiated by Christians. We have a definite contribution to make to the society of which we form a part. We are to shine as lights. At what has been said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And also, to be as a salt. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Exercising a purifying influence in the community in which we live. But this world is not our home. We are only pilgrims passing through on our way to heaven. We are citizens of heaven. Look up chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we are not pessimist because we believe that this poor old world is doomed. But we are optimists. We also look for a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So we cannot afford to be worldly Christians, living in bondage of the sins and palace of this world. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 20, it says there, look not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. So that is the second characteristic that Christians that we have seen on this verse. If we believe that the Lord Jesus is coming again soon, we shall be far more interested in the world to come than in this world. And the next is, thirdly, if we believe that the Lord Jesus is coming again soon, we shall deeply concern for the salvation of those who are not ready to meet Him. We should be concerned for the salvation of those who are not ready to meet Him. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, when we read this verse, it says that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some man count it slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says there is an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So verses 9 and 15, it reminds us of the Lord's wonderful compassion towards those who are perishing. Just what has been said in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but had everlasting life. And we, who are servants, should share His deep concern for the salvation of men and women. Of course, the sign of the times tell us that the coming of the Lord is very near. So James 5:8 says, be ye also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. How wonderful it will be for us when He comes, but how solemn or serious for those who are not ready to meet Him. And to whom he will say, in Luke chapter 13, verse 27, as I read, but he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are, whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. So let us buy up every opportunity of bringing the gospel to those whose need is so desperate. In John chapter 4, verse 35, saying that ye there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look up and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. So there's a lot of people, while we are still on this earth, there's a lot of people that are so desperate to hear gospel, to hear the word of God. So it says they are already white to harvest. You see in the field, when the field is already white, sometimes we say, oh, maybe it's going to, it will just fall, fall down on the ground. We need to harvest that one. Because if you're not going to harvest those falling grain or falling it will just, maybe it will just blown away. So we should, as a Christian, while we're still here on this earth, we still need to do our task, giving them the salvation of the Lord we're in. We should share the gospel to them. And in, maybe in your verse, in your lesson, should be 4, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Wrong mistake. Should be 4 and 5. So number 4 things Christians, what kind of Christians we ought to be. The number 4 thing is that if we believe that the Lord Jesus is coming again soon, we shall be steadfast in the midst of worsening conditions in the world. See, worsening conditions in maybe like for today, maybe maybe the ringgit is already up. Maybe three times already of Singapore dollar. So maybe you want to go to Malaysia. That's one thing. The currency of different countries is going up. The exchange rate is going up. Also, Philippine currency is also, I think, one Singapore dollar is already equivalent to 33 peso. So, for Philippines, it's a worsening condition. And also Malaysia. And also, there's a continuous threat on the peace in Israel. A lot of, maybe you have heard of those in Nigeria. There's a lot of worsening condition in this world. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. In verse 17, it tells us this. Of course, we must expect something. We must expect conditions in the world to get worse. But a world that has rejected God and His Son, and that has spurned the divine remedy for sin and every disease of man, can never get better apart from the divine intervention. It is in this desperately sin-stricken world that you and I, who love the Lord, are to find encouragement, hope, and inspiration in the calm assurance that our sovereign Lord, who is on the throne, will shortly step down and put all wrongs right. To know God and to know the mystery of His intention for the coming days, this is the secret of assurance and peace. In Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. So, if we believe that the Lord Jesus is coming again soon, we shall be steadfast. We shall be steadfast in the midst of worsening condition. So, I'm going to ask you, what are you going to do if there are only 2 hours left for you?
Win more souls.
Yeah, win more souls. 2 hours left. Maybe for me, I will tell my, because I have no more parents, also I have no more parents-in-law, maybe my siblings, I will tell them and maybe assure them that about the salvation of the Lord. Because though they hear the word of God already, but they are not really sure about it. So, 2 hours left. What are you going to do? So the last thing is that if we believe that the Lord Jesus is coming again soon, we shall desire above all else to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Him. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. This is what verse 18 suggests, that do you know Him as your Savior, friend, and Lord? If not, in Job chapter 22, verse 21, acquaint now thyself with Him, and be at peace. Thereby, good shall come unto thee. Acquaint means to give someone information about something, or inform, or be familiar with. So we should be acquainted with the Lord. If you do know Him, how much do you know Him? Let us read John chapter 14, verse 9. John chapter 14, verse 9. John chapter 14, verse 9. If you do know him, how much do you know him? John chapter 14, verse 9. And they want to begin. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He had seen me, had seen the Father. So, then, do you share Paul's ambition? The Paul's ambition, I will read Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. The way to grow in grace and to know him better is to be much alone with him in prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, but thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray for thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And to meditate upon his word, it says in Psalms chapter 119, verse 97, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all day. So, if we believe that the Lord Jesus is coming again soon, we shall desire above all else, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Him. Let us pray that the daily anticipation of our Lord's sure return will inspire us to live lives that are well pleasing to Him, to live in the light of eternity, to reach out for the salvation of others, to be quiet and confident in the midst of international confusion and chaos, and above all, to know Him whom to know is life eternal. So, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 18, the five characteristics of Christians we ought to be. Number one. What's number one? Let us all read number one. If we believe that the Lord Jesus is coming again soon, we shall seek to live lives that are Christ-like, holy, blameless, and God-glorifying. Number two, we believe that the Lord Jesus is coming again soon. We shall be far more interested in the world to come than in this world. Number three, four. And in number five, if we believe the Lord Jesus is coming again soon, we shall desire above all else to grow in grace and the knowledge of Him. Let us pray. Father, thank you, O Lord, for the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 18, O Lord. We do pray that your coming will be preeminent, O Lord, in our lives, O Lord. We do pray that you will be able to lead us and guide us also, O Lord, in the way you want us to grow here while we are still waiting for your coming, Lord. So we do pray also for the coming lesson also, O Lord, in our life, that you really want to continue to touch our hearts also, O Lord, and teach us more about your word. So we thank you also, O Lord, for the brethren who share their thoughts about these things. So we thank you also, O Lord, for the testimony of everyone, O Lord. But thank you, O Lord, for the ministry of each and every one of us, O Lord, that we also pray that whatever is the thing that we are going to do today, the coming service, O Lord, our speaker, O Lord, that again you prepare our hearts to listen to your word and learn more on it, O Lord. Lord, we do pray again for our pastor back in Lighthouse Baptist Church. We do pray for him and his family that they will be a blessing to the church, O Lord. And once more, thank you and get us this day. Christ, and we do pray. Amen.